Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, this conversation is going to deal a lot with exploration companies and early stage discoveries, or at least potential discoveries. Because Eric, we chat a lot about early stage exploration plays. You write a lot about general exploration plays. And everyone's always talking about, oh, you need to be in early, before the discovery, or right as they make the discovery, or as they're building out the discovery. There's a lot of different strategies, but there is also this, I guess, hanging cloud over some investors that say, if I'm not in early, and by early I mean pre-discovery, then I'm missing out on too much upside and I don't want to chase a stock higher. However, we have seen some stocks like Great Bear make a discovery and keep on running higher. So there is that nuance, and there's definitely that FOMO aspect of, well, I don't want to miss out on the next Great Bear. But we've also seen a lot of examples of companies even coming out with just pictures of drill core saying, we really like what we're seeing here. That can pop a stock. But again, that isn't even a discovery yet. And we have seen many stocks roll back over. So, Eric, where do you like to position? And what is your whole thought on where you are in the discovery stage of drilling?
Well, I used to think, like you said earlier, that, okay, in order to have really good returns, you have to be in pre-discovery. You know, that's how you actually, you know, get a 10 bagger, let's say. You have to buy the 10 cents or lower stocks, hope for a discovery, and then, you know, the 10 bagger will materialize. But obviously, I mean, I have yet to see one of those juniors become a 10 bagger overnight. I don't see them go up 1,000% after a discovery hole. So it's a really flawed, I mean, way of thinking, really. And especially when you consider the fact that over 95% will not have a good discovery hole. So, I mean, even if you bought 100 juniors, let's say, that were drilling attractive targets, let's say five actually make a, you know, 100 gram meter or so discovery hole. So it's like it's very skewed against us speculators, let's say. So I've strayed away, way away from actually, you know, going deep into pre-discovery plays. Because like you also said, look at Great Bear and look at other success stories, Newfound Gold. You had all the time in the world to buy in after the discovery hole, after it went, you know, up, let's say, 100%, and still get a, you know, 100% of return. In the case of Great Bear, like 20 bagger, I think. So that's just something, you know, a flaw in human nature. We're so greedy, and we, for some reason, think you have to take on the max amount of risk. But on the other side of the, you know, flip side of the coin, the funny thing is that when we actually see a discovery hole, typically they can go up like 50 to 100% in a day. Not often it goes up higher than that. And then people say, I missed the boat, even though it's not even close to a 10 bagger at that point. So it's like, it's funny how many psychological, I think, errors we're making. We take on way too much risk for way too little return and way too low chance of success. So the risk reward is actually pretty poor most of the time. But after it's been de-risked hugely with, let's say, an actual discovery hole. I mean, it goes from, you know, a concept to, okay, there's definitely something here, something robust could be here. And if the target large, let's say, depending on the type of system, obviously the more blue sky, the better, because if it jumps 100% from 20 million, the blue sky is way higher, there's more room to run. But after a discovery hole actually shows up and it jumps, people are like, well, I missed the boat. I don't want to be Johnny Latecomer, or whatever the expression is. So there, you have to fight both of those impulses, like to think you should take on, you know, huge amounts of risk because you think otherwise you'll miss the 10 bagger, and then thinking that there's no 10 bagger potential because the stock has doubled.
Well, Eric, you bring up an interesting point about, you know, where should people take the risk? Because I would submit there's a ton of risk to take pre-discovery because you have no idea if they're going to hit. And I would say there's a different kind of investor that comes in after a discovery hole. And I'm thinking of a couple other examples besides just Great Bear of some of the base metal examples like Adriatic's discovery or Solaris's discovery or Philo's discovery. When they hit on the base metals, that's when a lot of funds came in, and that's when a lot of family offices got involved. And so it kind of brings in a different kind of investor at that point in the discovery that's now ready to see the follow-up and the follow-through. Do you think that maybe retail investors are a bit too skittish and that they're just in it for the quick win when there's a lot of larger investors that don't want to get positioned until they see a discovery hole?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What is the typical retail investor? Very greedy, extremely short time span. So we want returns, but we only want, or most of us, we only want to be in something if we can, you know, have the chance for an immediate return. But like Great Bear, that 10 to 20 bag or whatever it was, that took 3 to 4 years. That's way too, I mean, most people have, let's say, are forward looking up to, I don't know, 2-3 months max. I mean, to wait 3 years feels like a lifetime, basically. And there's always some company that is drilling a new play or some crypto going up or whatever that's like, okay, well, I can get rich, you know, theoretically tomorrow in this. So why would I sit and wait in some where I know I can't, you know, probably get rich in the next 3 months? And obviously, the more patient investors or the really successful investors, they typically have more patience. They've seen it before. They know how long, you know, a success takes, and realize that, well, hey, if I get 30% per year on average, whatever, that's obscene returns. But most retail, I mean, we have the impulse to like, yeah, well, I want 30%, you know, next month. Otherwise, I'm not, you know, sitting in this play.
Yeah, most people do want a return. And even now the funds, they also want a return. Generalists, they want a return in the near term. But Eric, back to the whole concept of a discovery. When do you get truly excited about a discovery? Is it when a company comes out with visual, let's call them results or posting of pictures? Is it when they come out with the first hole? Or is it the follow-up drill program? When do you have the most confidence in, let's call it a new discovery?
Well, it depends on the situation. Goliath, for example, they channel sampled their Surebet zone and had really good numbers. And they came out with visuals like, okay, we're seeing the same stuff at depth that we're seeing, you know, that's outcropping and running good grades or good widths. I mean, that alone got me excited because, okay, this looks like a very robust system. Otherwise, it's typically, I mean, I like the Kennerland study where they go through like, okay, what do you want to see from a up to a 5K drill program in order to like, okay, this could be really good. I think they came up with like 50 gram meters or something. And if you drill up to 10,000 meters and you have 112 plus gram meter interval, that's good because that could be a 5 million ounce plus deposit there. So the earlier the stage, the more meaningful it is, because obviously if you poke 100 holes, there's, you know, a higher probability of actually hitting at least a good, you know, a good zone or a good blob or whatever. But if you drill few holes and have good returns, I mean, either you're extremely lucky or the system is very robust. All else equal, I would, you know, stick with the earlier stage, let's say. But more to your question, it depends. But nowadays, I'm more, you know, inclined to pay up for the de-risking. And like, today, for example, sentiment is so poor that many companies come out with good news and you can buy it, you know, buy the good news for sometimes, you know, not more than before the good news. So without taking the risk, you could buy the good result. While in 2017, we saw Garibaldi, for example, head to like 400 million in market cap because they had a huge target. Everyone was excited. Sentiment was good. It was risk on. People were willing to pay for potential. Now people are, you know, not even paying really for banked success. And on that point, it's like, I think this is a very good time to be buying, you know, news that doesn't get discounted enough, let's say. And on that point, it's like Bell Copper put out some visuals of what they're seeing yesterday. That stock ran. If this would have been, you know, a great sentiment environment, given that the target is huge, I think that would be already over 100 million, let's say. I mean, it would probably be higher even pre-visuals just based on drill hype. But now you can't play that way. I mean, I like it when I can play on drill hype. Now there's no premium almost for any junior. So I think now is a good time, because obviously 100% from a low valuation is better to get in than 100% from an already high valuation. I mean, where would Gary Baldi go if it was starting at 400 and it jumped 100%? Okay, you're paying 800 million for a single drill hole, let's say. Whereas now in a poor sentiment environment, maybe a stock jumps from 30 million to 60 million. You know, all else equal, that could be the same story, but sentiment is so different.
Well, Eric, just one last question on this before we wrap, and that is, what do you do in the cases where there's an initial good hole that gets the market excited? And we've seen this dozens and dozens of times every year. People get excited about the initial holes from a drill program, and then they follow it up with good, but not great, you know, not to the moon results, but just solid results. And then the stock rolls back over again. Do you like to hold through that period because you're still seeing confirmation that their thesis is working out? Or do you think that this is such a momentum-driven discovery cycle and the sentiment so bad that you really can't hang out there because of the opportunity cost? What do you do when people follow up a great drill hole with good drill holes?
Well, yeah, typically, I mean, like you said, I mean, we let's say the more good results or the, you know, greater the hype company has, expectations are going higher. That means that the coming results must, you know, increasingly beat the increasingly higher expectations. So you know, you get put in a corner basically that, you know, when everyone thinks blue sky is, you know, full on, it's the best thing ever. If they come up with something that's less than that, it's going to sell off. So I think it's a, you know, it depends. You have to really look what the valuation is. And that's like for a stock, for example, like Bell Copper, it's like, okay, it ran. But when you think about, okay, what's blue sky here? Maybe, you know, a billion. Theoretically, okay, what's the market pricing in? Let's say 4% chance of success or whatever. It's like, okay, it's up 100%, but how much is priced in? Whereas like in Gary Baldi's case, for example, 400, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot. Not many deposits even reach 400 million. But most of the time, I just stick with it because, and you can see this in Great Bear as well. I mean, it had multiple 30 to 60% corrections. But obviously, the case was still on. Sure, they might not, you know, get great hits in every hole, etc. But as long as like they haven't drilled off everything, or the, you know, case hasn't obviously changed way for the worse, that's good in my book. And obviously you have to look at the valuation, because if Great Bear would be valued at, you know, 400 million after the first hole, I mean, regardless if the case is intact, that's pricing in, you know, 12 months of good results, let's say. So in that case, my short answer, it really depends, but I try to stick to the numbers, like what's priced in, what's not, is the case intact, what do I think will happen after the next 10 news releases, etc. Whereas most people just try to time what do they think the next news release is gonna do, and they sell if it's bad or miss expectations, etc. So have a longer time horizon, I would say.
All right, we'll leave it there. Longer time horizon. Look, no exploration is easy and no discovery is straightforward. If anything, Great Bear was one of the most straightforward discoveries because of how large and how consistent they kept on hitting on that LP fault. The fact of the matter is, a lot of investors have been burned being told this is an early stage discovery. This is going to be worth X hundred million or X billion dollars, and it just doesn't piece together. So yes, there is always upside. That's why we invest in penny stocks, right, Eric? Is because the upside is essentially infinite. The problem is, boy, oh boy, very few actually follow through with that. And sometimes, in all fairness, being a trader, selling on the pop is the best strategy. But again, that's a whole other strategy. So, hey, Eric, good chatting with you. Hopefully we do get some more discoveries that are straightforward and continue to grow. But yeah, I do actually think people do need to be cautious. And if the story does change, then maybe reassess that whole investment outlook for that stock. Eric, great chatting with you, buddy. We'll post a link to your website. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. The same. I would just add that I agree. I mean, these are not core positions. I mean, assume that there's a high likelihood of any stock going down 70% at least. So it's like I'm sticking to small stuff that could go, you know, big, but won't kill me.